Now my mind becomes still, silent, peaceful. My thoughts are held in an experience of peace. I am calm, content. I feel deep acceptance and serenity within myself. I am light. Light waves of peace are shining from deep within me, and I am so free, so light, as though floating in a sea of peace. I see a pathway of light opening up in front of me. At the end of that pathway, I know is the home of peace. And the home of peace is drawing me upward, and silently, instantly, my thoughts travel to that vast, infinite, oceanic peace. My home. I immerse myself in this silent space. I feel a very strong and lovely presence. The presence of a great being of light who is gently showering waves of peace and love on me. I accept these vibrations of peace and love, and they become part of me. A gift of peace as vast as an ocean is within me. I feel the company and nurturing of this most powerful, loving being. Now my experience of peace has become powerful. The vibrations of peace and love are reaching the deepest corners of my consciousness, and they are healing me. I feel whole. I feel loved. I feel accepted. It is okay to be me. I like being me. My heart is full, full of light, love, and peace. Firstly for myself, and then I offer this as a donation to others in the form of my thoughts. I send peaceful feelings and good wishes to all those who are close in my heart. I see these people in front of me and send them my vibrations of deep peace and acceptance. I feel the happiness of giving and of allowing others just to be who they are. Feelings of honesty, closeness, and caring are communicated between us all. As I feel peaceful and accepting towards others, I understand others can become peaceful and accepting towards me. I am experiencing the true nature of love. No questions, no demands, no expectations. Only giving and sharing of warmth, caring, and acceptance. Om Shanti. Okay, good morning. Welcome back to this next session. Can we do a review of yesterday? What did you learn yesterday?
Oh yeah, it was really good, yeah.
Only see your positive qualities? Okay, yes. Yeah. The difference between high self-esteem and low self-esteem? Yeah, that's true, we did. What else did we do yesterday? What was the important piece that we did yesterday? All your evaluation sheets? That was the score 1.1, the different points in 1.2, and passive versus aggressive in 1.3. Yes? And what was your homework? Who can remember the homework? Never mind who did it. Okay, very good. What was the homework? The affirmation. Well, actually, it was to read your list of positive qualities and your affirmation 20 times to yourself every day. Yeah? Okay, who did it then? Oh, phew, that's very good. Okay. For the rest of you, I have to underline it's really important to do this homework. You know? It makes a difference. It really does. Yeah? Now, normally the course is designed so you do one session per week. Okay? So there's 7 days between the sessions. So there's 4 weeks between the first lesson and the last lesson. That's 28 days. Times 20 affirmations is 560 affirmations. Now, we've done this over 5 days. That means you have to do 112 affirmations every day to catch up. Yeah? Okay. What was the other little piece of homework? To meditate on? Yes. And self-esteem. Who did this? Anybody do this? You did some of this? Okay. Somebody yesterday asked me a very interesting question. They said, how can you give yourself a high score for humility? It's a good question. I hadn't thought about it before. And so I have thought about it. And I guess that if you are sufficiently humble to accept in your next life the role of being an emperor or a subject with equanimity, without getting high or low emotions out of it, then I guess you've got high humility and you can give yourself a high score. Humility is not about putting yourself down. It's about accepting what is and working with it as it is. Yeah? Okay. It's fine. Where are we? Just there. Okay. So today we're going to have a look at some habits that keep your self-esteem low, learning to lovingly accept your feelings and emotions. We're going to do some work on inner child. We shall look at the role of the critical parent. Get the importance of giving love to the inner child. Looking to not rate yourself on one negative tendency and the importance of changing negative self-talk. All of that today. Okay. Who can relate to this idea of seeing yourself as the body or seeing yourself as the soul? Which is the important bit?
Soul,
yeah. Okay. Baba gives us, I'll share with you an interesting idea. Baba gives us three mats. Yeah? And for the most of my Brahmin life, there has been this management exercise between Srimat and Maya. You know, Maya comes up and we put Maya back down again, and Maya comes up and we put Maya back down again. And there's this, what's the word, balancing act, or a duality between the two. But in recent times, last couple of months even, I've come to appreciate the reason my life is so good is because I'm following Srimat. Srimat is the way. Yeah, it's not just a good thing to do, or what Baba says, so we have to do it, you know? It's the way. It's the way of achieving heaven and creating heaven around you. So it's become very interesting. My balance has shifted completely towards Srimat, and now it's something good to do. It's desirable. It's not just a duty to perform. And Maya, doesn't get looking. Yeah? And the other thing I realized is that the number one requirement for getting into heaven is to be soul conscious. The reason heaven is such a great place is because the deities were all soul conscious. Yeah? And purity is essential to help you maintain soul consciousness. So the two go hand in hand with each other. But number one, you have to become soul conscious. And you guys haven't done it. I can tell you haven't done it because you're still here. What are you guys doing here? What are you doing? Come on. Okay. So, keeping self-esteem low. Here's some good ways of keeping self-esteem low. Learning to reject yourself by rejecting your emotions. Not dealing with sad or painful emotions in a healthy way. And negative self-talk. Oh, I missed a slide out somewhere. This slide got missed out. So for those who sneaked in yesterday, you can get all of the PowerPoints and the worksheets from these two links, Part 1 and Part 2. Made them very easy links to remember. Okay, all got those? Can I move on? Yeah, no protests? Good. Okay. So, the antidotes are learning to lovingly accept yourself, finding a healthy way to deal with sad and painful emotions, and learning to think positively about yourself. And we're going to do some of that today. About emotions. I meditate, so shouldn't I always be happy? Well, yes, but it's a long process. And you've got all this garbage inside to process and remove. And it takes time. I've been with Baba now 21 years. I'm still learning how to do this. You know, it just takes time. Baba says it takes time to become soul conscious. It takes time to become karmateet. You can't do it overnight. And it's all about learning to let go. Yeah? Letting go is the easiest thing in the world. You think. But and for sure, when you first come into knowledge, Baba says you have to let go of all the vices. So the big ones, you know, anger, lust, greed, attachment, and ego, they're easy to see, and actually relatively easy to let go of, for the most part. But the subtle ones, they're really hard to see, and they're really hard to let go of. But that's where the work is, you know? There's, I forget the date of it, there's a lovely Merli, Avyak Merli, and Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba are talking, and Baba's describing this beautiful tree, had all these birds in it, and all the birds flew off, and some came and landed on Baba's shoulder, and some came and landed on his head, yeah? And some birds came and just went round and round Babdada, but wouldn't actually land. And some were still in the tree saying, I want to fly, I want to fly. And Baba was saying, let go of the branch. Fabulous. Okay. It's okay to look at your negative emotions. Yeah? Your negative feelings. Some people deny or suppress their own emotions. I discovered the hard way that I have been suppressing anger all my life. Yeah? Not a good idea. Really not a good idea. So So have you ever suppressed your anger only to have it explode on you later? Anybody ever had that experience? Do you know? Yeah? I remember once when I was doing the accounts and there was something I was concerned about. And I spoke to this brother, not quite accurately. And this brother spoke back to me, definitely not very accurately. And I exploded. Boof! Yeah? I mean, really just apoplectic exploded. And I realized I'd lost it, so I left the room, went off to my own room and sat down and said, okay, what exactly is going on in here, you know? And there was about 6 issues in my life that were giving me a hard time, but I hadn't resolved them. I was just sitting on them. So I asked myself, what's the next thing I can do for each of these? And for 4 of them, there were things I could do. And I resolved to get on with them immediately. 2 of them I couldn't do anything about. I just had to learn how to endure them, you know? But 4 I could do immediately. So the next day I set about fixing them. And this feeling of anger was dissipated. Yeah? So, resisting or suppressing your emotions makes them stronger. So it's really not a good idea to deny your emotions. If emotions and feelings have come up, it's good to sit yourself down and name them. And then ask, where has it come from? Why is it in there? Yeah? The lady called, I had her name a second ago. Anyway, I met her in Australia. And she said that she'd only come into Baba a couple of years earlier. And she was now very late. So she had to make lots of fast progress. And she said that whenever a negative emotion comes out, the natural inclination is to suppress it. She said, I don't have time to suppress it. I drag it out in front of me and say, what are you doing in my life? Yeah? And to really take it apart. And she is lovely. She's a very nice sister. So, accepting your own feelings, good or bad, with kindness and love, allows you to accept and love yourself. Sister Denise made a very nice point. She said, talks about the negative sanskars and the positive sanskars. She said, you might imagine it's a really good idea to take all those negative sanskars and just throw them away. Yeah? She said, but you can't do that. They're part of you. It would be like splitting the soul in two and throwing half of the soul away. You can turn your negative sanskars off and you can turn your positive ones on. That you can do. Yeah? And if you read the book called The Power of the Soul, there's this phenomenon called the Dark Night of the Soul. I need 2 hands to do this. But you're just going along nicely with all the positive qualities, and one day, whoa, the old ones come back. Yeah? It's called the Dark Night of the Soul. And you just have to be ready for that. Yeah? They will come back. They'll just come back to test you. But accepting your feelings, good or bad, with kindness and love allows you to accept and love yourself. I love me. Let me just catch up with my notes here. Yeah. So the general rule is to lovingly accept yourself as a soul is having the emotion. Name the emotion. Watch the emotion, and then you'll see it will decrease in intensity. It'll become less. Yeah? Same as watching your thoughts. If you're finding your mind is racing, then just sit back and watch them for a while. And you'll find that they start to slow down. The action of observing your thoughts and emotions gives you control over them. That's the theory anyway. So, now I want to talk about this inner child. We all have an inner child. The inner child is the place, is the part of you that holds the sadness, the feelings of rejection, frustration, anger, all those things. Yeah? And it's good if you acknowledge your inner child. Now, I'll share with you that when Diane first gave me this, again, I was looking at this thinking, oh, this is psychology stuff, you know? Okay, we'll put it in the manual. Yeah, we'll just do it. Anyway, the first time Diane and I gave this course in Madhavan, one afternoon she ran a workshop on inner child. And up until then I hadn't given this any credibility at all. But I went to the workshop, and in part four there's a very nice commentary for inner child. And she did that commentary. And it's something I know almost by heart. So even though I couldn't hear Diane very well because of the fans, I knew the commentary. So we went through the commentary. And afterwards, Masana from London was doing a little workshop. And the first question she asked was, how do you feel? And I said, well, I'm feeling irritated. And I couldn't think why. And about 20 minutes later, she asked the question again, how do you feel? I'm feeling angry. And I couldn't think why. And about 20 minutes later, she asked the question again. And actually, I was so emotional, I couldn't speak. I knew if I actually tried to speak, I'd just burst into tears. You know? And I'd made three attempts to try and speak, and it just wasn't going to work for me. So I just sat back and listened to the workshop unfold around me. By the end of the workshop, I was able to say, my inner child is in rage. I mean, like, screaming at me, you know? Very strange experience. So I went up on one of the roofs. This is up in Shantivan. I went up one of the rooftops in Manmohini complex and spent about 20 minutes listening to this child screaming at me. And after about 20 minutes, he calmed down enough to let me know that I had been suppressing anger all my life. I was really good at it. Yeah? Actually, there's a little follow-on. I described this to a lady who was attending the health professionals retreat. And she said, well, how do you feel now? I said, I feel fine, but I can't tell whether my inner child is completely happy or I've just closed up the box again. She says, oh, you've just closed up the box. I can tell that just from the words that you're using. She said, but if you want, I'll help you to open up all the boxes and empty them out. Well, I said, that sounds like fun. Yeah, we'll have a go at that. So she was in Amsterdam, and I was in, where was I then? I was in Norway at that time. And we spent about 3 months going through the inside of my head. And she found lots of interesting things in there, with things which I really hadn't suspected were in there. And she helped to straighten them out. But more importantly, she started a process of internal reflection, just looking at what's going on inside my head. And the consequences of that, starting about the middle of 2015, I stopped being angry, which is a nice experience. Like the inside of my head had become empty, you know, silent. And lots of other things have happened since then. And my whole basis of spirituality has changed as a consequence of that. And it all came from this inner child work. Now, you're all laughing. Sometimes your inner child can be a little upset. Now, this is an interesting photograph, actually. I found this on the internet. And yeah, you've got a copy of this, yes. It'll be a little small image. But if you just Google angry baby, you'll find it. It's easy to find. It's a very famous picture. But this is an interesting picture. This child must be about, I don't know, 9 months old, a year old, and clearly very angry. Now, it's interesting because a child of that age has no basis for being angry. Yeah? This is a child in their previous life, got everything done, by shouting at people, being angry with them. And now he's trying to get his own way, and everybody says, oh, look at that, ain't he sweet, eh? What do you mean, sweet? So, we also always have the critical parent. The critical parent is the one who says to you, when your inner child is upset, now come on, grow up, they didn't mean it really, just be logical. How are you going to get through life if you behave like a four-year-old? These sorts of words. You recognize these sorts of words that we say to ourselves? Yeah? This is the critical parent. There's some other good quotes in here. Let me just get into my notes a bit. You want me to go back a slot? This one?
Oh.
This little boy is the little boy I met in Hong Kong. Yeah? Sweet child. So, the critical parent is the one who demands that your inner child behaves himself and goes back in the corner. Now, if your inner child is upset and you pushed him back in the corner, how is your inner child going to respond to that? What's he going to do? Protest? Maybe? He's definitely going to sulk. But he's not gone away. And he hasn't discharged the emotion. So it's just going to sit there. Hum, 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 hum. Yeah? And at the right time, it's going to burst out again. Or at the wrong time, it's going to burst out again. Yeah? I always used to regard myself as a very peace-loving, easygoing person. But now I understand what those words really mean. I can see before I met Brahma Kumaris, I was a very prickly character. You didn't have to dig too deep to find the level of anger in there. Yeah? Before I met Brahma Kumaris, I was a very prickly person. You know, very sharp thorns, very quick temper. Yeah? And I used to think of myself as a very easygoing, peaceful person. How it is? I can't pretend it's otherwise. Okay, where are we going to go with this? And yes. So when you suppress your inner child, he's going to come back at a later date with the same feelings and emotions. And if you suppress him often enough, he won't come out of his corner. He'll just sit there. I mean, this is my experience. He'll just sit there quietly building up this emotion. And when I finally did the workshop with Diane Tillman and invited the inner child to come and speak to me, he really let me know what he was feeling. Yeah, so let's have a go at the simple act of Dialogues, yes. A question for you then. How, if you're a nurturing parent, how should a nurturing parent talk to the inner child? Softly? With love? Gently with love? Yeah, that's true. Yeah? And if you have children, and you'll see later why, if you have children, you need to reassure them every day that they are loved. Because it's so easy for them to drift into low self-esteem and you don't even know it's happened. Yeah? They just become a little quieter, that's all. Yeah? So they need to be reassured every day. So, we're going to do a little practice dialogue. And I need two volunteers. I can't sit with this. This is trapping me down here. Okay. I need two volunteers. The volunteers are going to come out and read a dialogue. Read, yeah? Just read, yeah? Yeah. Come. One more. Come on. It's not that hard. Well done. Okay. Here's your script. But which one would like to be the inner child? You'll be the inner child? Okay, you can be the nurturing parent. Turn around and face your audience. Anything you can. Anything you can. Okay. And, they do the bit. So in these dialogues, the inner child always starts first. Yeah? And that means the nurturing parent may have to wait until the inner child has spoken. And there's a certain technique in this, and I examine it more about when we get to dialogue three, but the nurturing parent needs to use active listening. Active listening means feeding back to the child what has been said, to reassure the child that the child has been heard. Yeah? So if the child says, I'm feeling unhappy, oh, you're feeling unhappy? You know, you're feeding back what the child has said. Okay? So, why don't you, I pass you the microphone.
I'm afraid of getting up here and talking in front of everyone.
It's scary to think of doing this.
Yeah, I'm scared.
What can I do to help?
Hold my hand and maybe have God hold my other hand.
Okay, I'll hold your hand and give you love, and God will hold your other hand and give you love.
Okay, stay with me. I have faith in your love for me and God's love for me.
Okay. I don't want to get out of bed.
You don't want to get out of bed?
No, I feel really down. Life is just overwhelming sometimes.
You are feeling really down and like life is really hard sometimes?
Yes.
It's okay to rest. You work really hard so much. Just rest and take in peace.
Okay, I think I'll get up now.
Thank you. Okay. I'll try and do this next one because it's got a few more little twists and turns in it. So, I need a microphone stand. Hold on. So, inner child, nurturing parent. She was mean. You think she was really mean? Yeah, I feel sad. You're feeling really sad? Yes, I'm really upset. I'm sad. She never includes me. You feel sad when she doesn't include you? You notice the act of listening, the parent feeding back what has been heard? Yeah. Of course you do. Everyone likes to be included. Now, this is the... I'm reading session three. That's tomorrow. You can't do that today. I've got the wrong side of the page.
Sorry about that.
Okay. So, try again. Inner child. Things don't turn out for me. I'll never get a job again. This is the active listening voice. You're afraid that you won't get a job, and then you won't have money to do the things you want. I'm just a failure. Sometimes you feel really bad and scared and like a failure. Yes, I would just like life to be easy for once. Again, active listening voice. It is hard sometimes. Yes. The wise voice. Now get into advice. I think you're terrific. Life is hard sometimes, but you also have to look at all the good things you've done. You're a great person and you just need one job. Thanks. The wise voice, empowering thoughts, being full of love and having positive thoughts builds our energy. Let's focus on today. The only moment we can experience power is in the present. Would that be okay? Yeah, tell me again. Okay. You get the idea? How am I doing for translators? How many translators do I have here today? One? I'm going too fast? Okay. Why haven't you protested? Okay, I could hear myself going faster. That is why I asked the question. Right, I shall try and slow down. Yes, when I get excited about the subject, let me just move this out of the way. So what I'd like you to do is first of all, just practice some active listening. Yeah? So in groups of three, you can share one of the following three. Either a positive experience from your childhood, something you like about yourself, maybe it's your two favorite values and why. While the other two listen with attention in silence. And you take a turn each at doing this. Okay, so get yourselves into groups of three and have a go at this. And I'll find some nice music. I see some have finished and some have not. Okay, can we come together again? Yeah? So, for those who were, when you spent your time listening, how was it to listen, to be a listener? Is this something you're accustomed to doing? Being a listener? No? Okay. So how was it today to listen? Okay. How did it feel to have two people listening to you intently? Nice. Unusual. Okay. Have a go at listening to yourself. So, choose a situation. I've created dialogue between the inner child and the nurturing parent. So, choose a situation where you were just a little upset, not very upset. So it'll probably be something in recent times. Use long handwriting. Yeah? Long handwriting means joined up writing. If you're Thai or Chinese, the concept of long handwriting doesn't really apply. Yeah? But the idea is that it flows off the end of your hand as easily as possible. Yeah? Put the inner child to the left of the page and the nurturing parent to the right of the page. If you look at the dialogues that we use today, that's how they're presented, left and right. Your inner child starts the conversation, and the nurturing parent always begins by listening. This is a key exercise. So have a go at this. Take about 10 minutes over this. Till about 10 past. Okay? No, till about just after 5 past. By that clock. Okay, go for it. Enjoy. Hello? Some of you are having difficulty getting the conversation started. There's nothing difficult. You just wait for the inner child to speak. Just wait. It'll be fine. Okay, how was that for you? Was that an interesting exercise? Would anybody like to share what they've found from that?
It brings a lot of clarity between relationships, between me and my own self. Actually, the honest and the current communication begins to flow, and because of reflection, actually with the active listening comes to action, such as yeah, I understand, oh, so you think this way, or so I think that helps in itself. And usually when there is active listening, there is an immediate solution as well. So it really works. It works for me.
Thank you. Anybody else like to share? No, I'm really frightened.
The inner child is me, really, in my inner negative mode. And the nurturing mother has the duty of changing that negative mode into a positive, you know, reaction. So the nurturing mother has to be careful as to how she goes about doing it. you know, not to worsen the situation, but to help the child to understand that his emotions, you know, are coming up because of the wrong perception. And she tries her very best to go about in a very motherly way to say, it was okay to get angry, but, you know, you could have looked at it in a different way. So the different way is what she's going to bring out to the child.
Very good. Okay, was it a helpful exercise? Did people find it helpful? Nods? No? Yeah? Okay, we'll settle for nods. Like to share?
Can you clarify what a nurturing parent actually, how do you know is really a nurturing parent? So I'm just going to throw a few things. So one is to accept, not that they're right, but non-judgmental of the emotion, acknowledge the emotion, is that right? That, oh, this is anger, name it, okay, this is upset, okay, this is worry. And then to have like some wisdom, to throw light to the situation so that the child part can accept an action, like a self-empowering, like, okay, I know what to do now kind of thing. Is that what a nurturing parent does?
Now, this is interesting because you would imagine that the nurturing parent is the one that will give the advice, yeah? And that's how it's built in the text here. But you'll actually discover your inner child is already very wise. And sometimes the right thing to do is to just ask the inner child what the inner child would like to do. And you'll find the inner child will know the answer. It's quite interesting. Another thing to think about is how old is your inner child? Yeah, is it 3, 4, 6, 7? It's different for everybody. And the general theory is that the age of your inner child is the age you were the first time you had a problem you couldn't resolve. Which for everybody's different. So if you think about the age of your inner child, it gives you an indication of the first time when you had problems in your life. Yeah? For me, I was about 3. And my brother was a bully. Yeah. I was a beautiful child, otherwise. Yeah? Still handsome. Okay. Let's just have a little break for 5 minutes or so. Still 20 past 11. Yeah? Make sure you get out of your chair and walk around, get the blood going again, and have a little easy time. And I'll see if you can find some nice, gentle music.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, let's go party with me. Now everybody's learning.
Two more minutes. Okay. I want to move on to negative self-talk. Yeah? And there's two classifications of this. There's conscious negative self-talk and unconscious negative self-talk. And the unconscious negative self-talk is when you've been doing it for so long that you stopped hearing it, but it's still going like a little tape recorder at the back of your head. Bad person, bad person, bad person. Yeah? So there's three major categories. There's demanding self-talk, critical self-talk, and using negative labels. So demanding negative self-talk includes the words like should, must, ought to, should not, must not, ought not, have to, can't, which usually means won't, always, never. When you use these words, they're always disempowering words. Yeah? So the example I would give you is, if the boss phones you up on a Friday evening and says he really needs you to come into the office or to the job for the weekend. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and say, oh, I have to go. Yeah? That's disempowering. Yeah? Now, there are plenty of reasons why you might decide it's a good idea to go. You might know that the job is reaching a crisis and needs some extra help. You might need the extra money. Maybe you want to suck up to your boss. Yeah? There are reasons why you might choose to go. Or there are reasons why you might choose to not go. But the point is that you are making a choice. When you've made the choice, you don't then complain about the choice that you have made. Yeah? There was a professor, he was talking to his students. He says, I've given you a whole bunch of homework for the weekend. He said, some of you might decide to go to a party instead. He said, but for goodness sake, if you go to the party, enjoy the party, don't worry about your homework. And if you stay at home and do your homework, don't worry about the party. Yeah? It's about making choices. You know that somebody was asking me yesterday about a difficult situation. In any difficult situation, there's only three choices. You can endure. You can stay with it and live with it. You can try and fix it. Yeah? Or you can move away. And whichever choice you make, and making no choice is choosing the first one, whichever choice you make, it's your choice. You can't then complain afterwards. Yeah? Complaining about things is playing the victim game. And the victim game is a complete waste of time. It's when you're looking for a white knight to come and dig you out of the situation. To come and save me. Yeah? There never is a white knight. There is only yourself. Yeah? And the choices that you make are your choices. You have no basis for complaining about them. I shared an idea that came to me recently, which is relevant to this. I've decided that in the whole world, there's only two things that are important. One, how am I behaving? Two, how close am I to Baba? Everything else is actually not important. It's all part of the drama. If somebody else wants to rack up or to build up negative karmic account, that's their right and their business. It's not my business. It's not my job to save the world. That's God's job. My job is to save me. The other part of this is to understand that everything that comes into my life is part of my karmic account. It's my creation. So there's never actually a basis for complaining about anything, ever. Two things. How am I behaving? And how close am I to God? And this is name dropping. When I was having breakfast with Sister Gianti in Poland, I said, this is my thinking. Is this reasonable? She said, it's perfect. So this is a good idea. This is correct. And in fact, in the previous day, Sister Gianti was talking about advice from Daddy Gianti, which is the same words, the same meaning with slightly different words, but the same idea exists. My only responsibility in the world is to myself. That's my only responsibility. Now, for sure, it's nice if I'm a good example to others. And it's nice if I see somebody making a mistake, if I can tactfully tell them that they're making a mistake, that is good to do. But if they don't listen to me, not my problem. Yeah? No, my only responsibility in the world is to myself. And my own stage. And the nice thing is, if I get those two things right, looking after my behavior, staying close to Baba, everything else in my life will sort itself out correctly. Yeah? So I'm looking at my present life, and I have to tell you, it's pretty good. Yeah? It's very nice, my present life. When I first became a BK, the soul started taking on power, and the first thing this soul wanted to do was to settle karma. And I had lots of karma. I had a big account. So my first 6 years as a BK, they were just awful. They were really dreadful, you know? And I just knew the right thing to do was to keep going. Yeah? I remember about 6 months into this, I was down in Dorset visiting my in-laws. And I didn't have access to the Merley in those days. So I phoned up Global Corporation House in London and said, can you read me the top and tail of the Merley, please? Now, if you've been to Global Corporation House, you know what it's like at the reception desk. It's very busy. So she did her best to read it in between the 10 people who were coming to the desk, you know. But there was part, and I was sure that she'd not read it correctly. Anyway, we were due to go home that day, and the route home takes me very close to Oxford Retreat Centre. So I said, okay, we'll go the country route, and we'll call in a GRC on the way. So I called in a GRC, and it happened to be Mama's Day, 26th of June. And at the end of the Merley, Mama was saying, if you have faith, then you can have determination. If you have determination, you can have courage. With faith, determination, and courage, you can overcome any obstacle. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's what we do. We just keep going. And I kept going. And so for the first 6 years, it was really tough. But I'll share with you that when I was in Hong Kong, it was my job to look after the building. And that included the rats, the cockroaches, and the sewers. These are not my favorite subjects. But after I'd been in Hong Kong for about 2 years, I noticed that other people were dealing with the rats and the cockroaches, and I wasn't having to be involved. And one day the sewer pipe that went right underneath the meditation area was blocked, and they couldn't get a rod in there to clear it. So the only way it could be cleared was to dig into the concrete floor, take the tiles up, dig through the concrete floor, get down to the pipe, break the pipe, clear the blockage, and then repair everything. And you just knew this pipe was going to be under pressure. So when they broke the pipe, it was going to be the most disgusting job ever. And it just happened, I was about to leave for my holidays in the UK. And when I got back, it was all done and cleaned up and repainted and disinfected, and everything was fine again. Yeah? And I'm thinking to myself, there's a karmic account that's come to an end. So, and the karmic accounts do end. You just have to have faith and just keep going. Yeah? Okay. Where are we getting to? So, negative self-talk. Sometimes we use negative... I can't talk and stand still. It doesn't work for me. So sometimes we use a label for ourselves. And so here's some examples. And I'll read them through for the sake of the translators. If I say I'm a bad person, a better statement would be, well, I'm a person with both good and bad traits. Yeah? Or if I describe myself as crazy, well, a better statement would be, even if I sometimes do crazy things, I'm not totally crazy. Yeah? Defective. Well, I may have certain defects like any person, but I'm not defective. I'm disgusting. No, I'm acceptable. I don't matter. Everybody matters. Yeah? I have significance. I like this one. I'm a failure. Now, there's no such thing as failing or a failure. What you get sometimes is an experience that you didn't expect. You've discovered a new way that it doesn't work. That's all. Edison was famously quoted at was it really useless that he failed 500 times making a light bulb? He said that was 500 ways that it doesn't work. And he just kept going. And he found the solution. I'm inadequate. No. I have skills and talents. Everybody has skills and talents. Nobody's totally inadequate. I'm inferior. No. I have equal worth to others. Yeah? In the whole drama, we are all equal. Every one of us is important. If any one of us is removed from the drama, the whole drama has to stand still until we're put back into the drama again. That's true for every one of us here. So we're all significant. I'm a loser. No, I'm a normal person who can both win and lose. Yeah? Or I'm no good. I have many good qualities. If you think back to the session yesterday, you've picked out at least half a dozen good qualities. I'm pathetic. No, I have capabilities. I'm stupid. Have you ever said that to yourself? Oh, how could I be so stupid? I can do stupid things sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm stupid. Yeah? Oh, I'm unlovable. People can love me, and I am worthy of being loved. Now, I'll share with you, I grew up feeling very unloved. Yeah? When I was 5 years old, I came to appreciate, when my sister was born at that time, and I came to appreciate that I was the wrong gender. My mother wanted a girl, and she got me. And when my sister came along, I was also a member of the family, you know? And I was treated very much with, what's the word, disinterest. And disinterest is the opposite of love. And that's when I started being angry. Unlovable. And actually, it does some very bad things for you, you know? And you feel unlovable, and you feel unable to love. And 20 years of being with Baba, now I love everybody, and I feel very much loved. And it's very nice. Thank you very much. I'm useless. I do many useful things. I am weak. No, I have both strengths and weaknesses. I'm worthless. No, I am a worthwhile person. No. We sometimes have to do some work to find the evidence that the alternative is true. If you have a look at your worksheet 2.1, which is all about the idea of self-acceptance, that I'm okay. You got 2.1 in front of you? 2.1? Okay. Let's put it in together. Sorry? You don't have one. Do we have a 2.1 spare? Please, I think I've taken your 2.1s. Yes, this worksheet for today. You can have mine. Come and take this from me. Who needs worksheet 2.1? That one, yes. Okay, who's missing 2.1? If you haven't got a sheet 2.1, we'll talk through it and you can complete it as we go. So the first box on 2.1 is to look at an occasion, a situation where you found yourself using a negative label against yourself. Yeah? Maybe you took a wrong road on the motorway and your little Google Maps is saying, you have taken the wrong way. And you're saying, oh, how could I be so stupid? Yeah? So the first box is to write down the situation where you used a negative label for yourself. Just a few words so you can remember it. Okay, take 30 seconds to do this. Okay. In the second box, you write down the label that you used for yourself. I was really stupid. I was crazy. Okay. So in the third box, you write down a more self-accepting positive statement. A better statement. So if I go back to these labels, these are the labels we might have used, and the better statements to go with them. Yeah? So find a better way of describing your role in that situation. So if you describe yourself as stupid, well, I may do stupid things sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm stupid. Or I may do crazy things sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm crazy. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, you got a better statement in there? Yeah? Nod. And in the fourth box, you write down the evidence that your better statement is true. So if you've written down, well, I might do stupid things sometimes, that doesn't mean I'm stupid, you write down some of the things that you did that weren't stupid. You came on the self-esteem course, that was a good idea. You stayed for the whole session, so you're not crazy. You get the idea. See if you can write down 2, 3, or 4 points that give you the evidence that your better statement is true. See, some of you do have the idea. I find it really interesting that people complete this form putting all their writing in the left-hand column, whereas the right-hand column has got all the space for your writing. Now, why would you not use the right-hand column? It's an indication of a feeling of being unworthy. It's a sign of low self-esteem. Oh my goodness. Yeah? It's amazing how many people do it. I mean, there's a nice big space for you to use. Then you haven't used this. You're being efficient. I think you were afraid to expose yourself on the right hand side of the page.
You're joking, right?
I am not, I'm deadly serious. just common sense. Why would you not use the right hand side? It's a big space for you to use. Okay, you're doing it on your own piece of paper, that's slightly different. Okay, you got the idea. So, every time in future you are tempted to use that label, you can think back to the evidence that it's not true. And then you will not be tempted to use that label again. Now, sometimes it's a bit hard to understand the alternative better statement. So there's a web page I would highly, highly recommend. It's called The Work, T-H-E-W-O-R-K, thework.com. And that web page is created by a lady called Byron Katie. And I highly, highly recommend her work. And the reason I recommend her work is because she takes people who are suffering from pride, anger, desires, however unreasonable, fear, guilt, and she enables them to move out of that into acceptance. And for me, while people are living in pride, anger, desires, fears, guilt, then I can't tell them about love, joy and peace because they can't hear it. It's out of their reach. Yeah? But if I can get them to use Byron Katie's webpage, it takes them up to acceptance, which is much closer. Then I can teach them about love, joy and peace. So Byron Katie's webpage, she has a number of techniques, but at the heart of it are four questions. And she says, if you've got a situation and you're thinking a negative thought about that situation, is it true? Is this negative thought true? And often you never ask that question. So, then if you can get past that statement, second question is, can you know it's completely true, always? And really there's not much can get past that. But maybe you do. Then there's two more questions. And the first of those, number three, is, when you think about that situation and have that negative thought, how does it make you feel? Probably angry, sad, frustrated, whatever. Yeah? Then the fourth question is, if you could think about that situation and not have that negative thought, how would you feel? You'd be feeling free, light, happy, liberated. Yeah? So, given those two propositions, keeping the thought and not keeping the thought, what is a positive reason for keeping the thought? And you don't have to find the positive reason. You just have to ask the question, and then your brain will dissolve the thought all by itself. Very cute. And basically, what Byron Katie is doing is applying a fairly rigorous logic to your thinking. And negative thinking does not support logic. Yeah? The logic will destroy it. And it works every time. She's written a nice book called Loving What Is, and she tackles a wide range of subjects just using this technique. It's very good. And on her webpage, she has videos of using these techniques and turnarounds, what have you. Yeah? Turnarounds are conjugating a sentence. I'm trying to think the exact way I used it myself. Yes. I remember I was asking myself my purpose in life. And I was saying, I want to live in a world where everybody treats everybody with deep love and respect. Yeah, not bad. And the conjugation of that would be, I want to live in a world where I treat everybody with deep love and respect. Yeah, okay, you can see if I'm not doing it, I shouldn't expect anybody else to do it. And then another conjugation would be, I want to live in a world where I treat me with deep love and respect. And as soon as I put that sentence together, I realized I didn't do that. Yeah? So that set me going. And okay. So then I'm thinking, well, that's not really my purpose. My purpose is to teach. I love teaching. Yeah? And then I'm thinking, well, if my purpose in life is to teach, I'd be walking around with big books under my arms and teaching classes all the time. Yeah, and I wasn't doing that. So then I realized that my purpose is to be the example. And I teach by being the example. Yeah? And then I realized that actually I need to be the embodiment of love and respect for everybody. And then I'll be a good example, and I'll teach everybody, and I'll be creating a world where people treat each other with love and respect. And you can see each time your purpose embraces all the previous ones. Yeah? My memory, this is a bit shaky now. Okay. So, healthy ways to evaluate yourself. If you think back to worksheet 1.2, where you ticked off the boxes, the particular features that you would use to judge yourself high or low, then you're too complex to judge yourself on just one or more characteristics, and you can't give yourself an overall rating as you're always changing. And I can change in any direction I wish. I think this slide should be in part one. I think we're going to move that. Okay, another technique for you, maintaining a positive attitude. Get yourself a little piggy bank, and every time you use an old negative label, then you put some money in the piggy bank. Maybe a pound, a pound coin or a dollar coin or something of that value in your currency. And if you can go for 4 virtuous days not using that label, then you can open the piggy bank and buy yourself something special, or buy something special for your favorite BK center. So this is the download links. You get all the PowerPoints, you get all the handouts, and the handouts that you download include lots of notes from the manual as well. So more than you got in front of you today. Yeah? You got those written down? Nice and easy to write down? Okay. Most people say a dot, yeah? And I would say, well, it's true this piece of paper has a dot, but 99.9% of it is completely clean, white, and usable. Yeah? And often we see ourselves in the same way. We see the little defect that we have, and we define ourselves by that little defect. Maybe my nose is the wrong shape or something, you know? But actually, it's not that relevant. 99.9% of you is just fine. Yeah? So focus on the 99.9%. Your homework is written out for you in the handout, I think it is. If it's not, it's definitely available for you when you download it from the internet. So, number one, your homework is to read your list of positive qualities every day that you created in part one, and say your positive affirmation about yourself to yourself at least 20 times during the day. At least 20 times during the day. It will only take you 20 seconds. Not a big deal. Yeah? 2. Lovingly accept your feelings and emotions. Dialogue with your inner child if there are any emotions of sadness, hurt, fear, rejection, etc. And I'm going too fast. You should be protesting to me. Write down your conversation between your inner child and nurturing parent if an opportunity comes up. Number 3. Watch your thoughts and see if you have the tendency to give yourself an overall negative rating or a negative label. If you do, try breaking it down instead and see your good qualities. Refuse to settle for the negative label. Use a positive tone of voice with yourself and come up with a realistic, encouraging assessment rather than a label. Item 4, continue to meditate every day. That's easy, isn't it? Okay. Any questions from today? Okay, now you tell me, what did we do today? What did we study? Dialogue with your inner self, your inner child, absolute, yes. Active listening, yes. What else did we do today? Being a nurturing parent, yes. Observing and accepting your emotions, yeah. Active listening, yeah, we mentioned that. What did we just do? You can't be that stupid. What did we just do? We just talked about negative labels and not using negative labels. We also talked about demanding negative self-talk. Yeah, I have to, I must, or I must not. Yeah? Okay. Let us have a little commentary. Find that. This is all about creating positive thoughts. I sit relaxed and breathe deeply. I slowly let go of all the tension I feel in my body. I pay attention, especially to my shoulders. Are they loose and relaxed? My hands, my feet, my stomach. I breathe in and out gently. I have all the time in the world. There is nowhere I need to go. Nothing I need to do. I sit here with myself, relaxed and peaceful. I take a look at my thoughts and calm them down by concentrating on a few simple, positive thoughts about myself. I see myself in a positive way, in a new way, as if today I see myself for the first time. When I look at myself in this new way, I see myself in my original form, without stress or resistance, detached and yet fully involved. I recognize the energy of my own thinking and realize its power and potential. Everything I think about myself, I will experience. I will bring it into practice, and so I shall become. I am what I think. That's why it is so important that my ideas about myself are crystal clear and positive, because in this way I create a new personality. I look at myself and see inner peace, a natural inner silence, balance, and inner strength. Whatever I choose to think about, I can think about. I can finish these thoughts and concentrate on those. I choose the subject, and this is where my thoughts go. These thoughts then become a thought pattern. If I think about myself in a new way, a positive way, then a positive thought pattern is developed, and this pattern will then become natural. I see myself as a tranquil personality, very quiet inside and relaxed. I am the one who decides what happens in my life. From this deep inner calmness, I take decisions that are important in my life. With this newly found strength and direction, I can catch and change the rush of my thoughts. When things get out of hand, or if I panic, by creating silent, positive thoughts, I can calm down. A natural quietness. A state of peace, which is part of my original personality. The peace I am looking for, I find within myself. I only have to concentrate on it, and through the concentration of these thoughts, I will go into the feeling and will experience this peace. So peaceful, so quiet inside. Even the greatest chaos in my mind, even the highest speed of thinking, I can calm down by repeating these same thoughts about myself. I am peace. I am balance. I am silence, balance, peace. Om Shanti. Okay. Thank you for coming today. I look forward to coming tomorrow. Now please note that tomorrow we will be in room 3 downstairs. Not in here. Okay, room 3. One flight of stairs left to come up. Okay, thank you for coming today. Om Shanti.